Wow. Well, how are everybody doing today? John chapter 15. I bet you know what we're talking about. John 15 and verse 6. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We're going to talk about the vine. You see any vines? A whole bunch of vines. Wow. Father, bless your word. And we thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we had to teach children your word. And Lord God, I pray that you will help us today. And Father, we give you the glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We want to thank everybody who helped with the VBS. We appreciate it. Thank you so very much. Thank you for giving. A lot of things that had to take place had to be done to get this going. And it was a great week. And we thank the Lord for it. And we thank you, Karen. Hallelujah. The countryside of Judea and also Samaria lies peacefully awaiting the richness of color. And it bursts forth in the springtime. That's one thing I like about springtime. I like the colors. And the people of those areas at this time were very extremely busy. The result of their labor can be seen in the spirals of smoke. Smoke rising from the rugged hills to the clear blue sky. And those fires are fueled by branches pruned from grapevines, something like this. Each December and also in January, dedicated farmers cut away the unfruit-bearing branches, and they would burn them. Those dead vines will not produce the crops of which they are capable without such dramatic and drastic pruning. There is no point in saving the wood, no point at all, because it is useless. It is far too soft for any kind of building. You couldn't build with it at all. And there is only one function that these non-fruit-bearing branches are capable of, and that is this. They make terrific bonfire. Wow. Jesus knew this. He understood that. And that's why he told his disciples, he told them to go gather them and throw them into the fire. Wow. We have a lot of branches around here. You take notice of them. Hanging. Different things crawl on them. But they're really only one good thing they are used for. That is burning. He was warning his followers of very extreme danger of a non-productive living for the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was saying. And he used the common grapevine to illustrate his teaching. Wow. The people here accepted what Jesus was talking about because the vines grew all over that part of the land. If you would understand, knowing the history and that of the land back then, you would understand that they grew all over the place. And they say at this time, even today, they are still growing. They grow on thousands of little terraces from Beersheba in the south to Samaria to the north. And the grapevines needed constant care, constant watching, keeping track of constantly. How many of you remember, you know, back years ago as a child going into the woods and hanging from grapevines? You ever do that? It's fun. Nowadays, it wouldn't be too much fun for me. Bones break very easily nowadays. But years ago, it was fun. You know, you get on there, you jump on it, and you go, and it's just great. And here, they needed constant watching. The farmers allowed nothing else on the ground, they tell us. And the vines, they creep over the countryside, and they were held up by forks. And they grow so fast that they are usually placed about 12 feet apart. Now, you know, in here they're a little closer. But the vines are not allowed to produce any fruit for their first 3 years. Not at all. And each winter, they are cut back very severely so that they may develop a proper life, proper energy. And the vines have two kinds of branches. The fruit-bearing and the non-fruit-bearing. Wow. And those branches that the farmer knows that will never bear forth fruit, no grapes, are the ones that are cut off in the wintertime and burned. And Jesus used this simple illustration to point out that his followers, who are who? Us, right? Believers. It's you and I. His followers are much the same as the grapevines. Wow. Yeah, they're so connected. There's a monkey there hanging. Wow. It just leaped over here. Watch the snake. You know, one thing about VBS, you learn a whole lot. Karen gave, you know, the different animals in that. And what interesting things. And you know what I got? I got an education in tractors. A young boy. Him and I sat right back there. And I was educated in tractors. Some great information. But you see, here it is. The non-bearing branches. And Jesus was talking about those people whose Christianity was all talk and little practice. Wow. All talk. There are those. all talk. You know, isn't it strange? We can talk a good talk, can't we? But it takes action. They know all the right words, the right sayings, but their actions don't bear out which they say. And Jesus here was talking about them. And they are useless to the kingdom of God. Write it down. They are useless to the kingdom of God. Many branches, leafy, promising, but no grapes. Not at all. Jesus said that this kind of living is deadly. If you want to live that way, what he says is, it's very deadly. And the principle that I believe that he was implementing needs to be embedded into every one of our hearts. And that is, uselessness brings disaster. Hello. Uselessness brings disaster. A branch that is fruitless is en route to destruction. Someone had said this, people change, but not too much. You see, the problem of professing Christians is still present today. Think about what Jesus was saying here in John 15 about the vine and the branches. Useless branches trying to cling to the church for some type of acceptability, but producing no measurable fruit for the kingdom of God, no valuable fruit at all. He is looking for fruit, church. We are to be, you know, understand that God wants to use us. It's a frightening thing that one day, when we stand before a holy God and give an account for our lives, for some, it will be a disastrous time. Wow. I sat here on this week, BBS, and I looked at this rock. Now, what do you see about that rock? Is there a rock there? Oh. Is there anything on the rock? There's writing and there's a snake. And what does it say? I will. Now, is that talking about the snake? Or is it talking about the rock? It's talking about the rock. But you see, it's frightening that we're going to stand before Almighty God and possibly somebody might be asked, well, why didn't you praise me? Why didn't you worship me? A useless branch does not take Jesus Christ into consideration at all. That's a useless branch. For some, the thoughts of Jesus is far from them. Very far. He is simply ignored. Jesus is our Savior, our soon coming King, our healer, our baptizer, is ignored. Life goes on and Jesus is left standing by himself. That is an exact picture, church, of what happened one dark day long ago when the two kings met face to face for the very first time. And the one king sat on a jeweled throne, very expensive. His clothing was magnificent. His income was very big. And no one dared stand against him. No one at all. Just like his father before him, he had destroyed everybody in his path. And he had repaid his brother for his hospitality in Rome by taking his brother's wife. Wow. Of course, his name is Herod. And his great question that Herod had was this: what will it profit me? Wow. What will profit me? You see, the king who stood before Herod that day was Jesus. And his greatest desire was that the whole world might be blessed because of his life, what Jesus did at Calvary. He was on his way to the cross. He was on his way to give his life to redeem the lost. And Herod's life could have been changed in a very instant, just like that. He had only to bow to the Lord. All he would have had to do, just acknowledge him as master. But Herod was not going to do that. And he completely ignored Christ, brushing him off from his presence. He would not even take Jesus into consideration, not at all. And the question that we must ask, church, do we take Jesus into consideration? Do we? Does the Lord's Day mean anything to us? Does it? Is our heart stirred when people talk about eternity? Is our heart stirred whenever people talk about heaven? How about even hell? Knowing because of Jesus, we're not going there. Wow. Herod was a foolish man. And in a short time, someone else was going to sit at his throne because Herod was dead. And his soul was in eternity. His life had been tossed aside as branches that bear no fruit. Tossed aside. What did Jesus say? Cut them off and burn them in the fire. Because they bear no fruit. There are other ways to become a useless branch, church. There are those who listen to Christ. There's those who listen to Jesus. They consider his boundless offers. They give a mental thought, consideration, and even lip service they do, but without changing their lives. Wow. That is useless fruit. You see, they are hypocrites who cause others to stumble. Wow. They are the ones to whom Sunday services are just, it's just a social exercise. No. It's more than that. It's more than, oh, it's Sunday, I got to get up and go. It's more than that. It's Sunday, I have the opportunity, I have the freedom to go and the privilege to go. Hallelujah. You see, they are ones to whom the prayer meetings, man, they're a terrible inconvenience. Praying, they look at as an inconvenience. Bible reading is an inconvenience to them. Do you know what that means? There's no fruit on the vine. They're the ones who consider giving to missions a waste. Let me ask you, missions team, the monies that were given, was it a waste? No. Like the disciples who thought the ointment, remember the ointment that was poured on Jesus' head, they thought was a waste. They don't understand the word intercession. They don't understand the word sacrifice. Not at all. Useless branches have never caught sight of the real meaning of being a Christian, a follower of Christ. Useless branches. May we ask ourselves today, may we say today, church, am I as dedicated to God as I should be? Wow. Am I dedicated to God as I should be? You know, a lot of things can take us away from church, from God. There's a lot of things, if we allow it. Am I committed to God? Am I committed to His church? To the point that I can be counted on? I thank the ones that worked any possible way in VBS. If you came, you can't name it. There's people who gave, there's people who set up, people who did that. And we can't say enough of thanks for that. But can we count on to the point that we can be counted on? There's some people that can't do manual labor. But there's other things they can do. They can pray. Are we aware of the urgency of this age? Are we aware of the impulse, the motivation of this age? Do we know that the leaders of the world, do they believe in Armageddon? Do our leaders know anything about that? Do our leaders know anything about heaven or hell? Do our leaders know anything about sin and the blood? The final battle in Revelation 16:16 talks about is Armageddon. And it's going to be against good and evil. There are Middle East prominent leaders, church, to this very day. There are prominent Middle East leaders that talk about Armageddon. They believe that it is coming. They believe it. And we know the Bible is true, and the Bible said it. It is real. But in the meantime, what are we doing about it? Are we involved in the useless collection of things? Are we worried about the fruitless vines? Once in a while, you'll see them. Stop laughing. Sorry. Are we committed to the cause of Jesus Christ and the saving of the world? These little kids that come and they raise their hands, they want to accept Christ. Let me tell you something, church. They will never forget that. Never. Useless branches, withered vines, fruitless. Jesus said that men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They're fruitless. There's no use. All they are good for is building a fire. And there is nothing more that can be done with them at all. Take a good look, hard look, at your Christian life. Has it been useless? Have you been a fruit bearer? Is your time worthwhile in God's eyes? The demands upon a fruit-bearing vine are very great. Let me tell you something, church. It's full-time work. It's full-time. Bearing fruit is full-time. It takes the emphasis off playing, and it puts it on praying. And one man said this, "What good is a church whose choir loft is full and whose altars are empty? What good is a church whose fellowship hall is used continually and the prayer rooms not? How about a never-ending membership list that doesn't quit and just a few prayer warriors?" What do you think God's thoughts are? What do you think He thinks of about His church? What do you think, it's cold? What do you think, it's lukewarm? Would He consider it as useless branches? Would He? If the church has a purpose for existence, then where's the fruit? What good is praise without passion? Are our altars frequent with people who have passion and compassion? And in Luke 19:10, it burned in the hearts of God's people, and it should ours. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that verse that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, that very verse, that took Christ to the cross to die. And our mission, I believe, is the same. It is to do the will of the Father. It is to live our lives that we may bear fruit for the kingdom. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German Lutheran pastor and anti-Nazi. And he wrote about the lie of cheap grace. And he stressed the urgency of discipleship. He stressed the discipleship, that it's a full commitment of dedicated service, because God has made demands on you and I. We are not our own. He purchased us through the magnificent ransom at Calvary. And I believe, church, today, I believe He expects returns from our lives. And He requires us to be a church that is fruit-bearing. Fruit-bearing. And these are days that require taking stock of our lives. Not the lives of others, not the lives of your neighbor, not the lives of your spouse, but our own. Because 1 Corinthians is still a command today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, it is still a command today, church. Let a man examine himself. It's still in effect today. And we must ask, have our lives been lived to bring honor to King Jesus? Have our lives... Do we consider each day as just, oh, it's just another day to be used for God's service? Do we? Do we regard lost humanity with the same love and passion that Jesus does or did? There's an old song that some of you probably remember. And it goes like this. Will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be? Will there be? Are we just living a life, coming to a surface, coming to church, and not bearing fruit? When we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and our lives are examined in the light of eternity, will God consider us as fruit-bearing branches? Are we? Or will our entire life of works and effort be consumed in the fire? Wow. You know what? It's our choice. It's our choice. But He wants us to bear fruit. To bear fruit. Wow. Maybe today we should have had some fruit on these vines. But that's what He wants, fruit. He wants His church to bear fruit. Do you want to? You want to bear fruit? I do. I believe we all do. Shall we stand? Father, I thank You and I praise You. And Lord, I glorify You. And I ask, Lord God, that You would touch us today. Stir Your church one more time. Stir us, Lord. Give us a hunger, a thirst for righteousness. Lord, give us a thirst for souls. Lord, because we know there are a lot of people that are out there. And they say they want to go to heaven, but they're not ready. And they know they're not. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to jump in and get our hands a little dirty. Lord, help us, Lord, to be that person to come and work at a VBS. And even though you have to maybe get your hands dirty a little bit, but Lord, we want to do it for You because we believe it's worth it. We believe every soul is worth it. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that You will touch us. Lord, there's a lot of things that can take us away from doing what You called us to do. But Lord, this day, we want to take it back. And Father, I pray right now that You will just continue to work in people's lives. Lord, not people that are perfect, that are better than anybody else. But Lord, people that are saved by grace. People that, Lord, have accepted You into their hearts and want others to get saved and live a life that is fulfilling, a life that will glorify Christ. Lord, help us. Lord, there might be people that live in our neighborhood, or there may be people, Lord, that we know of that need a changed life. But Lord, I pray that You'll help us to be fruit bearing, that they will see that there's something different. Lord, we thank You for it. We love You. And we praise you for what you're going to do. And Lord, for who you're going to raise up, we give you the praise. Father, I pray right now for the different ones that aren't feeling well. We pray for Pauline, Lord, that you'll continue to touch her, continue to help her, Lord, with this shoulder. Lord, there's other ones, Lord God, that need a touch, Lord, for Jack. Lord, we just pray that you would intervene and minister to each and every one. Father, there's other ones, Lord God, and I pray for your touch. I pray for Rhonda, Lord, that's not feeling well. Lord God, that you would just raise these people up, and we will give you the glory, and we give you the praise, and we will thank you for all that you're going to do. Lord, we thank you that you're going to use us this week. Lord, we want to be that fruit that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Have a great day.